Board. So welcome, everyone. This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we are talking to Melissa Ray. And Sandy, you're going to have to help me out. Is it Kachurik?
Very good. Yes, it is Kachurik.
Kachurik. Nice. Okay. Yeah. So I thought, let's see how I can mess that up. Anyway, thank you so much for being on. And I am in Florida. I'm normally in Ohio, but I'm in Florida this time. And I threw my computers into my suitcase and I thought, oh, I can just work from Florida. That's not a problem. And for some reason, my laptop will not let me on Zoom. I kept trying and finally I just kind of bailed and jumped over on my phone. So anyway, Brenda has her hand up. Brenda, if you have a question, please put it in the chat or say hello in the chat, if you will, and we'll open it up to questions later. Now, I will want to ask you this since I'm on my phone. Melissa, can you or Sandy, can you see the chat box easier than I can?
I can see it.
Okay. If you could, Sandy, if somebody puts a question in there, if you could kind of monitor the chat box, that would be great. And just let us know if somebody has a question or makes a comment there. And Melissa, I apologize. I know you're a Christian author and you have this great course. And I had this intro all ready for you, which was on my phone. And now, of course, I'm on my phone on Zoom. So I am just going to turn it over to you, Melissa, and tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little bit of your background and who you are and what you do, and kind of maybe your journey before you got into actually writing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I'm Melissa Ray. As you said, I am an author. I'm a homeschooling mom. I'm a speaker and I'm a belief coach. And I inspire wisdom in others through my believe, say, do, think process. And you'll hear more about that. And this helps transform thoughts and words into action so that we can be courageous and confident through Christ. I have, you mentioned a program, the Unhackable Mindset course, and it will challenge you to walk away from the things that have hacked you in your life and help you recognize and prevent those hacks from gaining full access to your life. I'm passionate about children and young people maintaining or recovering a mindset that leads them into confidence the way they were born before the world starts chipping away at us. You know, I care about parents. I care about teachers. And I'm enthusiastic and hope that my program and the books that I'm writing will speak to them and help them to walk into some confidence and walk away from those things that keep them oppressed and down. You asked me about my journey. We've all got one of these, right? We start out with that American dream. I used to love to write poetry and stories and pictures when I was a kid. I was creative. Then went to school. I became a school teacher. I got married. I became a mom. I have three wonderful kids and I have a grandbaby.
You are not old enough to have a grandbaby.
Well, really? Thank you. Yep. Yeah. So I taught elementary school. Okay. And then when I got pregnant with my last child, I came home. I worked with my then husband. We had our own business and I started homeschooling my kids. We had a successful business, but it burnt to the ground. So after
you mean literally burnt?
Literally. Yeah. There was a fire. Yeah, it was December and the heating system and all that. But the journey, you know, when I think we as women, we have our life identified. This is, we're a wife, we're a mom. And that's where we draw our value and our identity. But that burned down and he left. So 26 years together, gone. So I was divorced, displaced, and I was damaged. And I had three little kids looking at me for answers. So wow. that, that happened, you know, like I said, 10, 11 years ago. And in that decade, there's so much that can happen. So you can either react or respond to your life. I didn't have the energy to be reactive, right? I just needed to, let's get on with this. And God started equipping me with things. So we went from owning an automotive repair place to God led me into having a Bible bookstore and teaching supply store, which was great healing, meeting the community, other homeschooling parents. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job as an admin assistant at a church. And then I got really comfortable in my life. And God said, you need to move to Florida.
What?
And I argued with him like a silly girl. But then I said, okay, I'll go. And I went. And that step of obedience opened the door for so much more. I turned 50 at that time. And the company I worked for is a global company. So I got to meet people from all over the world. And it was really wonderful. They offered CPR classes. I signed up for a CPR class. And then, I don't know, a handful of months later, I actually had to use it to resuscitate a 28-year-old.
Wow.
I turned 50, had this life-altering moment. I said, life is too short. I got to get on with living. So I started taking dance classes. I started writing again. And then I found the Author Academy Elite program out of Ohio.
Yes.
And I joined that. And that's where my journey to meeting you began.
Okay. Because we met at the actual Igniting Souls conference.
Yes,
we did. That's actually how we met. We ended up sitting at the same table, and that's how we met. And gosh, I had no idea, because when you're at the conference, you know, the information's coming at you and you really don't get to know the folks really well unless you spend, you know, the whole weekend with them. And it seems like we just spent toward the end of the conference together. We ended up at a table like on the last day or something.
Yeah. And in the food line.
Yeah. Now, where are you in Florida?
I am not in Florida right now. That's another part of the story. I'm in Northeast Georgia. I'm in the mountains of Georgia.
Okay.
But the headquarters is in Lake Mary, Florida, which is in Central Florida.
Okay.
So that's where I came.
Because we're half time in Ohio and half time in the Sarasota area. So I am actually at my condo right now in Sarasota, which is, you know, why I was trying to use my laptop. So maybe it's the laptop. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's the Wi-Fi. I'm not sure, but we're here. So good.
Yeah. Wow, and it's good time.
Yeah, that is quite a journey, Melissa. I'm just so impressed of your tenaciousness of staying on task and pushing the cart in the right direction, as I like to say. Yeah. And so you started, you felt like you were creative again, you wanted to get on with living. And so what is it that actually motivated you to actually write a book? And tell us about that moment. There, my computer finally caught up. It popped me on there. So now I'm echoing. Hold on. I got to move out here and turn my volume down.
Yes. Mute it.
All right. Now, can you hear me?
I do.
Okay, good. Is there an echo or are we good?
I think we're good.
We're good.
Okay. So anyway, tell us about what motivated you to write that book. What is the first thing that actually, you know, when you heard about the Igniting Souls and the publishing and all of that, tell us about that piece.
So, you know, life is wonderful and grand and full, and it changes a lot. So I was going to write my dad's biography. He has this rags to riches kind of story, and he's a great storyteller. Everybody loves to listen to his stories. So that's what I was going to start with, to honor him. But at the same time, he had a ghostwriter writing the story. So, you know, I felt like, oh, I'm so defeated, right? But we talked about that, and the people that he gets to share his life story with, they have kids. So I wanted to take the stories that he was sharing with the adults, the entrepreneurs, and have something for their kids. And I also wanted to, like I said before, you know, I have a passion for children. I was a school teacher. So much of what this first book is about is to help kids. So my motivation was to write his biography, and then it switched. I don't know how many thousands of words I had into it, and I may go back to it, but then it switched to children's books, these morals that his father taught him with. So my dad was a sharecropper's son. You know, they picked cotton in Tennessee, and he never had shoes till he was in high school. Well, maybe he had some hand-me-downs here and there, but most of the time barefoot in overalls, always got picked on. And, you know, I think that if we spend time listening to the stories of our elders, we're going to glean so much wisdom. So that was the motivation to start writing. And why I started, you know, life was happening. I was 50, that incident. I didn't think I had any more time to waste. I needed to get on with it. We all have a dream and a story built inside of us, and we need to share it. It's really cathartic. You know, you birth this piece of work. And for me, it's like, okay, I did a thing. Next, you know.
I get that. But I know you were trying to write and you wanted to find a way to publish. And we've got a lot of newbies on the call that listen in, folks that want to write for the first time.
Yeah.
And so what is your thought when you're actually looking for a publisher? What was your process there?
You know, I really attribute it, Kathy, to God. You know, things were in front of me through all those changes in my life. And I really think that whether it was a Facebook thing that was going on with Carrie Oberbrunner, or I had seen an ad for Author Academy Elite. I think when I saw that, then I checked for other, but I just kept coming back. That's all that was in front of me. Like when, you know, you find out you're pregnant, then everyone around you is pregnant. It was one of those things, you know, that's all I could see was the Author Academy Elite. So that's how I chose them. And it's really a tribe, you know, it's a, like an extended family. We went to that conference. I mean, a lot of us didn't know anybody, but we came out knowing each other. I got to meet you. I met some other great people that I do life with. We have meetings every month just to check in on each other. So that's more than, you know, you might get if you selected any other kind of publishing company, or if you tried to do it by yourself.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still getting feedback. Sorry, I'm trying to find a place where I don't get feedback.
Let's see if I can mute the other. I don't have permission to do that, but you can mute the other.
Yeah, I tried turning my computer off and I can't even get it to turn off. So there, I'm just going to leave.
Okay.
Now I'm outside at the condo complex. Okay. So it's a beautiful day out here. See, look at all of this. It's gorgeous.
It is great. Look at that.
Yeah. It is gorgeous. So I love it here. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about how did you know once you were ready to write the book, how did you actually make time in that kind of a schedule to actually write your book? I know we've got a lot of newbies on the call, and that seems to be one of the big things that they're always saying to me is, I want to write a book someday, but I don't have time. I'm still working a job. And so here you are working, you have a career, you've got kids. We all know how busy life is, you know, with the laundry and the dishes and the dinners and the kids and the bedtimes and all of that stuff. How did you find time?
you know, some things, some portions of it come as this great big download, and you just write and write and write and write, and you just can't stop. I had 7 edits to this first book, and then I had to rewrite it.
When you say rewrite it, what are you talking, like start over, rewrite it, or?
Yeah. Cause the editing, you know, there are different kinds of editing. So that's one thing I would encourage any of your listeners is look into the different types of editing so that when you produce something, you ask for the right kind of editing. So do you want someone to just look at your spelling and your grammar? Do you want them to say, you know, you said this in paragraph 1 and it makes no sense when you get over here? So that's why 7 edits for me and to rewrite. But it all turned out fine. My time, everything for me happens after work or on the weekends.
Okay.
You know, if we had holidays at work, or I would take my PTO time off, vacation days, whatever, that gave me some time there. But a lot of late nights.
I get it. I get it. I've spent a lot of late nights because I too have an online course. And so I spent a lot of late nights doing my online course writing. So yeah. I get that. Now,
I think you have to be intentional. And, you know, I have an alarm that goes off on my phone every night at 8 p.m. It's my writing time. Now, I will be honest, I do not do that every night. But it's a good reminder, like, hey, come on, girl. You know,
that is a great idea to set an alarm. I hadn't thought of doing that. That is a great idea. Yeah. Walk us through the chapters or the, you know, the journey. Walk us through the book. What is your book actually about?
Okay, well, the book is called The Fence Post, and I've got a poster back there too. It's illustrated throughout. It's meant for ages 9 through 12, but I think anybody of any age can get something out of it because, like I said, it's a parable, it's a lesson. The main character, of course, is my dad, little Randy. And it talks about the sweet relationship he had with his dad. And his dad did not say much, but when he did, it was something to really ponder. So, like I said, they had, you know, he had overalls, no shoes, always getting picked on. And that was no different. This story was talking about one of those episodes where he got picked on by the big kid in school. And this time he took it out on his very own friend, which was confusing for the friend, of course. But he got to try on boxing gloves in gym class. And that's what led to this. The big kid hit him. So he turns and he hits his friend. He comes home all excited that he got to try on boxing gloves, right? And he leaves some of the story out that he tells his dad, right? But he said enough to where his dad said that what he had done wasn't right, you know, to hit his friend Charlie, and that he should apologize. But he gave him a task to do, and this is where the lesson is found. He told him to get a hammer and a nail, nail it in the freshly painted fence post. And he was like, you know, I just told him this story. Now I have to go do this. I don't know why, but okay, here I go. And he's hammering feverishly into this post. He tells his dad he's all done and nothing. His dad says, okay, well, when you apologize, come back to me. So for days, he's thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I don't need to apologize. This isn't my fault. Yeah, but what dad said was right. You know, and so he's mulling it over for days. And he thinks, okay, well, I'm just, dad must have meant something by this. I'm going to talk to my friend. I'm going to set the record straight, apologize. So he does that. And he thinks, okay, now I can figure out why I had to put that nail in that fence post. He goes home, tells his dad. And his dad said, you can take the nail out. And he does that and he's all proud and he's holding up the nail and it's like, what does it mean now? And then he has to learn the lesson. What did you leave when you took out that nail? And he's like, well, there's nothing but a hole there. He said, but your actions to your friend, your words, they do the same thing. They leave a mark, leave a hole. And so that's the gist of the fence post, is that our actions matter. They're important. The words we speak, we can't scoop them back up and unspeak them. And that's it's one of my other books, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now with that lesson, that's the basis on how you turned this into a course. Am I right?
Absolutely. I started with the idea after I passed the biography, I thought I'm going to write the fence post. And then as I'm doing that, there are the other stories, you know, the next book is coming out this summer. It's called True Friends. It's learning about fair weather friends, hard work, and a choice to either love somebody who you know is using you or not. And then with that, then it came the you can't unring a bell. The words you speak, you can't undo something that's done, even if you apologize. So you got to realize the weight and the consequences of what you do. And the last one is you have to look in the mirror, meaning you've got to face yourself, the things that you do and say. So yes, that first book led to the idea of four in the series, which led to the idea of building the courses, Believe, Say, Do, Think. And if we can target those four areas in our young people, and even maybe modify some younger adults, they won't spend 40 years of their life in misery. we learn lessons the hard way.
Melissa, that's amazing that you turned your book series into the courses. And so now, are those all published? Do you have those actually available for folks to tap into the courses already?
I have a waiting list. I'm still building out the courses because I'm going a couple of avenues. I have the Unhackable Mindset course, which is tying in the Believe, Say, Do, Think course. I have one for adults and I have one for children. So I'm trying to build them out, but I have a waiting list for it on my website.
That's amazing that not only can you use your creative talents into writing this book series, but then create these courses. And because I get so many of the new authors that I talk to and they're like, you know, I wrote a book and I'm not making any money off my book. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping to sell some more copies. And so you're actually creating a whole business around your creative thoughts mm-hmm. in these books and their real life stories. You're putting them down on paper. You're finding time to write in the evenings at 8 o'clock. I love the alarm idea. Yeah. I'm gonna use that one. Yeah. I love that. And so your books, you say, are primarily for 8 through 12. Did you say?
Nine to 12. I've had some as young as 5 and 6, and then I've had adults. Everyone can get something out of it. And I gave you the whole, you know, gist of the book.
But now the courses, you have an adult version of the courses. Am mm-hmm. I right? You're creating an adult version of that.
Yeah.
So are you using the books or just the moral of the story, so to speak?
The moral of the story. Yeah. I'm not using the book. The book can be sold with it because that's where the lesson is mm-hmm. found. You know, if we as adults think about, careless actions, you know, maybe we're sitting in traffic or at the drive-thru and we're really hungry, but we don't like how long it's taking and we get up to the cashier. Are we going to let her have it? I mean, it's not her fault that they were busy that day. So it's stuff like that. It's the moral of the story, the lesson, and then apply it to our thinking. Give ourselves some exercises to think about what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm.
Melissa, I love all of it. That's such a great combination of the writing and the courses. And again, the books are available now on Amazon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They came out. Well, the Fence Post, the first one, it came out in October. So it's available on my website, on Amazon, in bookstores. The second one will be out this summer.
Okay.
And I hope to keep a cadence every 6 months to get the other two finished.
Okay. And so your website is just melissaray.com.
MelissaLray.com.
MelissaLray.com. Okay.
Yes.
I will put that in the replay. So for those of you that are listening, we are recording this. And so I apologize for my background changing all over the place with me trying to get away from my computer.
That's since life. I'm getting feedback. That's life. Yeah.
But anyway, I will have a replay of this, and I have the Kathy Binner International Academy. If you just go to kathybinner.com, you can find it, and all the replays are there, and the replay of interview with Melissa will be there, and I will put not only the replay there, but I'll put her website there, melissalray.com, so that you can find her and find her book, and I'm sure we can Google you on Amazon as well, or search you on Amazon, it'll come up. Yep. And so, so tap in, get the book, watch for the course. Do you have a way on your website for the waiting list? How are you?
I do. Creating? Yeah.
Okay. So get on the waiting list. I think the courses would be great. And I think this is something that your readers can actually use as well. If they're maybe what, teaching a Sunday school class, or they
actually have something for schools. It's a 16-week course that you can have a classroom join. You can have discussions, or they can do it independently online.
This just keeps getting better and better, Melissa.
Thank you.
I'm just so impressed. How fun. How fun. So we talked about who your book was for. We talked about why your message is important. What plans do you have for the future other than completing these books and courses? What's your big dream, Melissa? You have a big dream?
That is it. You know, I want to get these four completed. Then I want to move on to a whole new bunch of kids books, you know, that elementary teacher kids, you know, that's my thing, right?
Yep, I get it.
So I just want to do more writing. I've been jotting down all the ideas for new books. So more writing, more course building. I've got a social media on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn where I will occasionally put things up there. If I've done a book signing or, you know, done a magazine, I've been in some magazines. So that kind of stuff, to just stay connected with people who are interested, not just in me, because it's not about me at all. You know, I'm just a vehicle for which this information can come, hoping to help everyone find their confidence and their courage.
Now, Melissa, we've got a lot of newbies, like I said, new writers. They want to write. They're not sure how to get started. Give us maybe three tips and tricks that they can use in their writing to get started.
Do it often. Do not critique yourself as you're writing. Just purge, right? Think of something, write about it. Go back later. Sometimes, you know, I even set my second book aside for 6 months and I came back to it. So you have to come at it with fresh eyes. So you'll never get anything produced if you keep, you know, editing yourself as you go along. So just write, do it often. Be intentional, set some time aside, whether you get up before anyone else in the house or you go to bed after everyone's gone to bed, you know. So be intentional with your dream. Put a name on it. You want a dream. Put a name on it. Let's see. Be with like-minded people. Read, see what else is out there in your genre. But don't compare yourself, because that will quickly make you feel defeated. I think if any of us say, oh, I want to write a book about quilting, of course, there's hundreds of books on quilting. That doesn't mean your story doesn't need to be told as well, because we come from a different place. So I think that was one thing I learned about, you know, in the lesson where I wanted to write that biography. Mm-hmm. I can still write it. It's coming from my perspective, my point of view, you know, and that's what I would encourage anyone else. Don't get defeated by how many titles are similar or content is similar. You still have a story. Don't die with it inside you.
Melissa, great advice. I love all of that. I love it. Sandy put in the chat, but Sandy, I think it just went out to the panelists. I'm not sure it went out to everyone of Melissa's website, melissalray.com. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if Sandy can maybe repost that. Thank you so much, Sandy. Again, I'm on my cell phone because my computer decided to have a mind of its own today.
But see, Kathy, that's what makes you great at all your businesses, is because nothing stops you. You still keep going.
I do. I'm out there. I'm doing about eight podcasts a month. I have eight different topics, but all of my topics are about passive income. Mm-hmm. And just a quick little story. Of course, I met Melissa at, you know, the Igniting Souls Conference. And so I am very, very connected to authors and writers, and I also am a writer. And so what happened for me was I had joined the Ohio Writers Guild, which is, of course, what we're on tonight. Mm-hmm. And as I was just kind of looking at the website, a call went out on the website, and the gentleman that had the website at the time, that was the admin, he said, can anyone, you know, take over the web, you know, the Facebook page, because he said, my health isn't good. And he said, and I need somebody to take it over. And I thought, you know how you do. I thought, you know, who am I? You know? And so I waited, and a week goes by, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and 4 weeks. And he just kept kind of putting it out there, you know, please, someone take over. I hate to see this group go by the wayside.
Yeah.
And so finally, you know, I heard the voice. I tried to talk myself out of it.
Yeah, why do we do that?
And I knew I had to step up. It was my heart. I love the authors. I love the creativity. I love everything about it. Mark and I took a walk today in Sarasota, and the highlight of our walk is we got to go through this wonderful bookstore. And I turned to Mark and said, okay, this is what I want my library to look like at home. And he goes, yeah, but this is a bookstore. I'm like, yeah, and your point. Yeah. So anyway, I finally stepped up and I said, okay, I will do the Ohio Writers Guild. And the gentleman passed away within 30 days of me stepping up. And the originator of the group had retired years ago. He came back around and kind of did like a little interview with me. And he said, you're going to be great. He said, I feel like the group is in good hands. He said, do anything you want with it. I started doing these interviews, podcast style interviews on, you know, on Tuesday night. And we have grown the group over 300 new members in just in the last 12 months, just from our podcast. Yeah. And I get to feature authors every month. I'm so excited because every author has a little bit of a different twist on how they, you know, write and why they write and why their message is important. And Melissa, yours was an amazing story. And I loved hearing more about you and how all of our listeners can connect with you. And so I put it out on Audio Boom, which is the podcast platform. And we just topped 1,000 listeners on Audio Boom. So yeah, we just bypassed, we've got like 1.1.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So our listenership is growing on the podcast. And so I just want to thank you gals for coming on. And Melissa, thank you so much for your heart and your message and why you do what you do. And it's so important. Your message is so important. Yeah. And when we look at the world that we live in today, and these kids need to hear your message.
Yeah.
And so not only are you making a way for the kids to hear your message and to read the books, but a way with your course for parents and teachers, Sunday school teachers, regular the school teachers. Mark is a retired teacher,
yeah.
You know, and so what great information and content. It's just amazing. So Melissa, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being with us this evening. And yeah. So for all of our listeners, whether you're listening here in person or whether you are listening on the replay, please connect with Melissa, melissalray.com. Pick up a copy of the book, follow her program, get on her waiting list. If it's something that resonates with you in your world that you can help those students, those 9 through 12 yeah. year olds in your world, please tap in. And the adult version, I can't wait to see that one take take more form. So yeah. I want to do a little
speaking. They could just reach mm-hmm. out to ask me a question. My email is melissalray@gmail.com. So, you know, let's get to know each other. I'm happy to help in any scenario. And Kathy, I want to reiterate how important it is that you may start with the dream of writing a book, mm-hmm. but writing a book isn't cheap. I don't want to scare anybody. It's not godly expensive also, but if you can have more streams of income from your first idea of writing a book, and mm-hmm. I think you can help us with that.
I do. I have a course on how to build a better business, and it's all about how to come up with what your promise is to your tribe, to your clients, you know, to your audience, and then how to put together your products and services all the way through how to even create a course. And so I'm working in a mastermind group now with a group of folks and showing them and teaching them how to put all of that together. We've got a great group that's working through that whole list of how to build a better business. I have a blogging mastermind on how to monetize your blog. If you just want to write blogs and not write a book, it's a great way to get started writing, isn't it? Yeah. To just blog. That's a perfect way to get started. And I teach folks how to monetize their blog and turn that into income. And then we even have, as you go forward, I have a course on how to do your own masterminds and how to create nonprofits. And then, of course, the Ohio Writers Guild, I'm interviewing an author every month. And I have an author, an actual speaker's cabinet where you can become a speaker in our speaker's cabinet. And then we promote that so other folks then can come in. And when they're needing a guest on a podcast, or if they need somebody to do speaking for them, they can go there and find someone that has the fantastic message they're looking for. So Melissa, I want to invite you and I'll send you an email with all of that information, you know, once the call is over this evening, and I'll send you an email with all of that. I would like to invite you to be in our speaker's cabinet.
Thank you.
And that way we can help you get your message out there. And so I want to do a little segue at this point over to Sandy. And Sandy, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure.
Sandy Kachurik. I had to practice that last name a little bit to make sure I pronounced it correctly.
Yeah.
And Sandy has a great opportunity for those that are listening in today. And I invited Sandy to come on and share with our listeners what the opportunity is. So Sandy, over to you.
Sure. Hi, I am director of Into the Springs Writers Workshop. If you're familiar with Ohio, somewhere around the Dayton, Ohio area, that side of Ohio, there is a unique village called Yellow Springs. And in Yellow Springs, there is a beautiful, rather new still hotel called the Mills Park Hotel. And the first week of August, 5th through the 7th, I have a writer's workshop for running from Friday through Sunday morning. And it gives you that opportunity. It's kind of scheduled like a masterclass where it's all single sessions and you're kind of immersed with the presenters and you're allowed to ask questions, participate however you want throughout the weekend with whoever that presenter is. And they're all successfully published authors. And the authors also sit throughout the whole weekend with everyone as well. So they're interacting with their counterparts and they're interacting with the participants. And this year, this is our fourth year. And this year I have three authors, John Kachuba, who's out of Cincinnati, who does nonfiction, fiction. He's a creative writing teacher at the Gotham, New York workshop. He's also a creative writing teacher at Ohio University, and he's presenting. So is Raul Ramos, who has his own advertising agencies. And from that, he's moved into writing and has been PBS. And so he's got all those various backgrounds of different media that you can put your writing skills into. And I also have Juliet Hyland. She is a romance writer, and all three of them are unique and connected. And that, I think, is part of the theme that runs through as well. Personally, the logo for Into the Springs is grow your community, cultivate your craft. So in the craft is like the first part of the weekend. And we have John talking about humor. He has an anthology of humor and he teaches humor writing. But the focus here isn't necessarily on, another Irma Bombeck, but how humor adds depth to the action and the characterization of a story. And he also deals with historical fiction because he does a lot with, like, say, ghost hunting and following different types of interesting people, real life people, and putting them into anthologies. But he says every story has a setting, every story has a time. So history works with that in all genres. And you start to see the challenge of myself as a director, picking people who are going to present their craft and their community to the members participating, but making it so that everybody could relate. And that's the trigger. You go to some conventions or did in which you have three or four different sessions every hour. That's not the way I've devised this. So the key has to be in the presenters. Will each author be able to not only work by themselves, and thank goodness for Zoom, because we've had a lot of Zoom. It's almost like the dating game. Ooh, can we all get along together? And then once we do, can we all bring our the people who participate in as well? And that has worked. And my key this time is strengthen your impact. So even though I have somebody who's teaching historical fiction, he has to relate what he's doing to any type of writer who's come in and signed up for the weekend. And Raul comes from the platform angle, building your audience platform. He's more into cultivate your craft is all about your story, and growing your community is all about you as the author and getting that out there. And, and he's talking about the platform, because being in advertising and TV all these years, he's worked with that for a living as well. And tips, you've met them, I'm sure. Kathy and Melissa, in which they're just starting. Well, his tips are like, hey, here are some neat writing programs you might want to think about to start organizing your thoughts as you're getting your first sentences down. And then Juliet, is you're talking about creativity, and oh my gosh, isn't it so much easier to just watch something on TV than to type out a few pages? And she's talking about that, how to ensure the wow. And she's on her second contract with Harlequin, which means she's producing 5 to 8 books a year. And she has 2 children and she has a daytime job. She has a husband. She's involved in extracurriculars with, those middle school and high school. She is going to sports events. She's going here and there. How does she do it? How does she put all that in there? And how do you keep being creative when life wants to be too realistic sometimes? Mm-hmm. And then she's in the craft thing. There's a little device called a trope or a theme. And in romance, they're often, unfortunately, kind of teased at for always having the tropes. We know where they're going to go, but every genre has a trope. Mm-hmm. And if you're ever marketing your work, creating your blurb, creating your advertising information, knowing your tropes, knowing the themes that generate your story, gets you closer to that successful pitch, that query letter. So all these Yes, I've got a romance writer. I've got a nonfiction, creative writing, humorous, someone who, Raul has changed genres. You were talking about that too, Melissa. Mm-hmm, yeah. He does, being born in Cuba and raised in the United States, he's had a lot of books in fiction on the immigration. And now he's switched and has done this real interesting twist on the Robin Hood story. Wow, you hear about authors who are changing their genres in some cases or subject matter. Can you do that and be successful at it? He's of course saying yes. So I've got him and I've got Juliet coming from all those different places and yet being enough, like you said, to know, hey, not one person's way is the correct way for me. You know, there was a famous mystery writer, she wrote all her stories sitting in her car in a parking lot because her house was too noisy. So everybody has their thing. So yeah. That's what the weekend's all about. And like some of you, yep, high school English teacher. Oh my gosh. And sometimes I have to put the brakes on saying, okay, English teacher, classroom voice, here it comes. Yes. So putting this workshop together has been a thrill. And like you, Kathy and Melissa, working with others, going to conventions and going to workshops and meeting people. And sometimes just being together for a weekend gets you over that, not a block or a, maybe just a slump or just the stories we tell ourselves so we don't have to go forward. All you need is someone else going, oh man, I believe in you. You could do that. Yes. That's so great. Got it. You know, it's not like it's my mother. You know, the birth certificate says, I will say everything is good at what my daughter does. But, you know, some stranger sitting next to me in a workshop said, that sounds good. It's like, oh man, I might have a chance. Mm-hmm. So that's what Into the Springs is kind of all about in a very rushed, but lovingly, thank you for asking, workshop. So thanks.
Sandy, it sounds amazing. So I have to ask, can you tell us how much it is for the weekend? And of course, the workshop, I'm sure, is different than the cost of staying over and all of that because can stay in different places. Yeah.
Yes. You know, we're in our fourth year. And again, the story is a lot like yours, Kathy. A friend of mine said, hey, I'd like to start a writing workshop in Yellow Springs. Would you help me out? And I said, sure. And at the end, I was her assistant. And at the end of the second year, her health flared up. And last minute, I stepped in as director. And then after that, she goes, you know, if you want it, you can have it. And I, at that time, I don't know why I said yes, but I did. And I'm glad I did. So I renamed it and we had it in a community building in a small space that maybe held 20 people comfortably. So it was time to branch off and moving it to the Mills Park Hotel meant, well, you know, how all that is. It means a better price tag than a little community room, but it gives us a lot more space and a lot more a possibility. So for the weekend, it's $225 for the whole weekend.
Very affordable, Sandy.
Thank you.
Melissa and I, we've signed up for a ton of stuff. So that is very affordable.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah. Well, again, the hotel is very luxurious, but they've given me a conference rate for that weekend. And a standard room is $200, normally $215. And a deluxe room is $250, normally $265. So there's that possibility. But on my website, and I've posted that into the springs writerswork.com, I have other places you could go as well. There are a lot of bed and breakfasts in Cedarville and in Clifton and in Fairborn of all different monetary, whatever you can
price afford range. There.
But it's going to be kind of exciting because before in a community room, I had to be out of there at a certain time. Now they say, you can have the whole weekend to yourself.
Wow. That is so valuable too. Yeah. When you get creatives together.
Yes. So, you know, I have an assistant, an aspiring writer who comes down and helps me from around the Akron area. And I said, okay, TR Collins is her name. This is Saturday night, we're going to have an open mic reading night. So I'd like you to kind of design what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And then we might have, you know, all those early birds, and maybe you're one of them that sets their alarm for 5 a.m. and 4 a.m. Well, we're not going to go that realistic. But I thought, all our workshops begin at 9. How about if we meet at, you know, in the conference room and do like a writing sprint from 7 to 8 o'clock, 20 minutes, stop for 5, 20 more minutes, and see what happens and see if those early risers can live up to the hype, or new people just try something for the first time. So it's giving me an opportunity. My writers are bringing their books. I couldn't have done that before and selling them. So that, and my romance writer is giving her books away. So that's okay with the other two gentlemen. So there's a lot of creative possibilities that have opened up. As you all know, when you move from a different spot or someone offers you an opportunity mm-hmm. that you say yes to and think, oh my gosh, what have I done? Oh, what have I done? And it just takes on such excitement, a little bit of terror, but a lot more excitement that it's worth it. So,
and I think that's the takeaway from Kathy and you, Sandy, and even me. Wow. We have to say yes to more opportunities because, yes, we're full of a little bit of fear, maybe a lot of fear, but when we walk into it, look who we meet. We meet people like the two of you.
Yeah.
And they take us to the next door or window or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And even for myself, I'm listening for writers because I intend to continue this. I'm not just a one-time, one-hit wonder. You know, I want to continue on. So I'm listening to writers more. I'm listening to readers more. And to Kathy, like you, who are organizing, and Melissa, like you, who are organized. I'm very good at organizing. You know, I was a department chair. I could keep high school students in their seats as we tackle Julius Caesar. So, hey, anything's pretty cool. Anything's a little easier after that. So it's exciting, and it's exciting working with fellow writers. My writing career began about 20 years ago when I wanted to be a writer. I was kind of eyeballing retirement coming up, and I think, oh my God, if I retire, how much time will I have to learn how to be a professional writer? And just seeing that transition and working in the years before I was looking at retirement very, very seriously, I thought, I'm going to start to write some. Nonfiction was my beginning. Short stories is what I've sold most of. It's hard, like you said, Melissa, it's hard to get out there and sell your stuff. And I am so much a promoter of other people. This is like me standing in the back, sucking it all in without saying, because it's easier for me to celebrate someone else. Hey, come on and see John and Juliet and Dan and Raul and all these people. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I'm on social media. It's not as hard as I thought. Oh, it's not as tricky as that. Like you said, the blogs get easier the longer you do them. So I have a newsletter out, and it was never about me. And now it is about me in a different sense. So when I'm ready to launch my my fiction novel writing career, boy, I will have learned so much. So,
yes,
in the long run, I tell myself, keep at it. Every time you get up, you have to do something for this thing. And if all you feel like is designing an ad, advertising it, then that's what you do.
Sandy, thank you so much. Put in the chat, I think you did already, but put in the chat, make sure it goes to everyone on how we can connect with you so that we can check out this event. And if you haven't been to Yellow Springs, it's a beautiful area of Ohio. It is just beautiful. It's not that far away from where I live in Ohio. I'm in the Kanawha-Winchester area. just on the southeast corner of Columbus. And so we're maybe an hour or a little over an hour away from Yellow Springs. And it's just a beautiful area. We sometimes go over there just on a Sunday afternoon if we're just out driving around. And we actually own some property there in Springfield. We like to go to the Clifton Mill at Christmas time, those good things. Yeah. So we're very familiar with the area. So anyway, folks that are listening, please check out this particular Writer's Weekend. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It sounds amazing.
It does. It really does.
Well, thank you so much. And again, thank you for, and believe it or not, I'm kind of shy. So when someone says, go, contact Kathy, she's great. You know, I kind of need that. And I'm thinking, yeah. And then behind me, it's like, okay, kid, you just went to the Mills Park Hotel. You better be contacting people. And you know what, Kathy? It has been fun talking to you. And I got to meet Melissa and last month's the gentleman from Georgia, Elliot Parker, I believe.
Is another Georgian?
Yeah. From Ohio, moved to Georgia.
Yep.
I believe he teaches at Ole Miss. And
yes,
I think it's Ole Miss, right?
Oh, David says also Young's Ice Cream. Yes, David, I forgot to mention Young's Ice Cream. Yes.
And you know what? I don't know if you're Dave. Yes, Dave Chappelle. I keep hoping to my husband has run into Dave Chappelle in Yellow Springs. I have yet to. But who knows?
Well, you know, there's still time, Sandy. There's still time.
Thanks. Yes. I have to
invite him to the workshop.
Pace myself. But yeah, Young's had to, they're going to become Knott's Berry Farm, I swear. But they've torn down their old Young's and it now looks about the size of an airplane hangar. So you're going to have to come out to Young's, and you can watch them make the ice cream. So that's but the goats are still there to pet, and the udders and putters is still there. And there's a lot. I give folks, we run on Fridays. We start at 5 and we run till 8. And then on Saturday, we start at 9. We break for 2 hours for lunch, so you can wander around. And what's lovely is right there in the Mills Park Hotel is a very lovely, as you know, a lot of great places to eat, restaurant right there. Mm-hmm. And then we're done at 5. Now, we'll have some events because we get to use the hotel for that. And but you're also free to wander while you're in town. Please take advantage to what all the hype is. It really is worth it. And what's lovely about this hotel, it has a top floor and a bottom floor, long, massive porch. So you could sit upstairs and look over, or you could sit right there and watch all the people go by. And people watching is probably one of the top things to do if you're not hiking Glen Helen or biking the bike trails there. They welcome folks to just wander at will. And one of the most, I live very near there, and it doesn't matter whether I'm there on the coldest day of the year or the hottest day of the year, there are always people mingling, standing out on the sidewalk and talking and they say for better or for worse, sometimes it's one of the coolest cities in the United States recently voted, and two, probably the one with the population with the most degrees in education, levels, which I've heard people debating worldwide topics over picking out their favorite fish in the market. So, you know, farmers markets are very, and August is a wonderful time. That first part of August is a great time to see the town. So.
Nice. Sandy, thank you so much for that. And of course, the contact information is in the chat. And I want to open it up. If Melissa or Sandy, if you can see the chat, does anybody have any questions? Please pop your questions into the chat. Do you have any questions for Melissa or for Sandy? Anyone at all?
We've left them speechless.
I tell you, yeah. Probably watch. As soon as we shut down, it's like, oh, we meant to ask Melissa. Great.
Yeah, I'm just looking to see if you girls see how many folks we still have in the background?
We have, there are 6 participants. So there's 3 more besides the 3 of us. Melissa, is there a favorite aspect of your writing process that you look forward to the most?
I think just like anybody, when you feel like you have captured the ideas in a way that someone else could look at it and picture it.
Ooh, nice.
I feel very good there. Like finding an illustrator. I went through a handful of illustrators. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to the one who did illustrate my book, I was worn out. I had given everyone photographs because it's a historical fiction, mm-hmm. reality, you know, it's kind of a mix of real and, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I got to this last one and I gave her such little information and she gave me back exactly what was in my head.
Wow.
So when I gave her the book, the manuscript, she knew, mm-hmm. You know, we had to tweak characters, yeah. and so forth, but she just knew. And so I think whenever that, it's like a magical moment where mm-hmm. what's in my head that I've put on paper can get into your head just the way I see it.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Wow. Someone was saying, I think this is back to Yellow Springs. There's a bookstore with great bumper stickers. My favorite is Skew Obfuscation. And that's probably Dark Star Books. And I always ask Kate, who owns Dark Stars, to come in and chit chat. Because there's some place that every author wants to be, and that is on a bookshelf somewhere.
Yes.
So she comes in and talks about the independent bookseller's point of view. But my other, and thank you. Thank you, who's ever, David Horning. Thank you very much for asking such great questions. And Melissa, do you have a writing partner? Do you share your writing at any stage of your creation?
With my kids.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes, well, a lot of times I talk to my dad, he's still living. So I'll run something by him and he'll say, well, why are you hung up on that detail? Or that didn't matter so much. This is how it went down. And you know, I have three kids and they are all very gifted with words. And, you know, my middle son, I call a wordsmith. He read every book in the library as a kid and he can look at something. And because he knows the history, this was my, you know, granddad's story. Mm-hmm. He can cut to the chase. He can shave off all the fluff and stuff that doesn't lead you to the main idea.
Good.
So as far as a writer's group, I've been in them. Mm-hmm. I don't have, I hate to say I don't have the time because we have to make the time.
No.
But I've strayed away from it. Uh-huh. Because like you, I give to others, I celebrate others, I promote others more than I would for myself. Mm-hmm. And I was part of that writers group for a couple of years and I always wanted to hear their story, you know? Mm-hmm. And so leading up to that, you know, moment where I had turned 50 and I'm looking at, okay, well, what have I given this world to give back, right? So I think they're great, but knowing my personality, and maybe I'll join again after I have gotten these four books out of the way, because I think it's important, just like meeting here. I'm learning from each of you a little something. I heard all of us say yes to something that seemed like a ridiculous idea. Why would, what, you know? And I think meeting with a writer's group, it sharpens, you know, you're honing your skill, you're making your network.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not against it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Melissa, ooh, I agree. I think that's wonderful. And Sandy, thank you for being with us. Melissa, yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. We're just a little over the hour now. I want to honor everyone's time. So I want to go around and I want each of the three of us to say one more time for the folks that are listening in that may not be actually looking at what I've posted, because I'm going to post all of this in the along with the upload of the actual video and audio. But for those that are just listening, you can find me at kathybinner.com and scroll down to the Ohio Writers Guild. Definitely tap into all the free stuff. And Melissa, give us your website one more time.
MelissaLRay.com.
So join in and connect with Melissa. And Sandy, give us your connect information one more time.
The best place to find all the information you need is at Into the Springs Writers Workshop.com.
Perfect. Again, I want to say thank you so much, Melissa. I've enjoyed so much talking with you and learning about you and your story. Please, please, please join our speakers cabinet. And Sandy, you and I are going to have to hook up. We're very close in Ohio. Sure.
I've been up your way to Canal Winchester and stayed in a bed and breakfast up there years ago. So it's a beautiful area.
Yes, I actually have a bed and breakfast in my home right in Canal Winchester these days. So so anyhow, we'll need to meet up and get together. So I will definitely stay in touch with you. I want to thank everyone for coming on today and listening to the Ohio Writers Guild. Yes, and we'll see everyone next month.
Yes. So, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thanks, Sandy. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you again. Bye.
Bye-bye.